against triangle insulation. It's in the mirror.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Steve Namira. I represent Southern Illinois Riverboat Casino Cruises, Inc., doing business as Players Island Casino. We're here to correct a summary judgment that should not have been entered. This is a case involving the sale of insulation material by Triangle to us, and with certain representations and warranties made in the sale that were breached. This is not a case where Players went to the hardware store, shopped the shelves, and picked out something for itself for the application that was intended. We called the insulation people. When we needed insulation, we called Triangle. We asked them to come over, and they did. They came, they examined, they gave advice, and indicated to us what would be appropriate for the intended use. I believe our arguments are fully set out in the briefs, but there's two big fact issues that I think the district court overlooked that we'd like to address with you today in the short time that we have. The first is whether a warranty of fitness for a particular use.
Before you do that, when did the insurance people, rather the people from Triangle, first come to the craft?
Approximately a few days before the application of the material.
They actually visited the craft?
Yes, sir.
And inspected the area, did they?
Yes, they did. Their agent, Gary Holder, came out at our request and actually got on board the vessel with our people, looked at the situation. We told him what we were trying to do, and he went back and then communicated to us specific products that could be used for the intended application. And the affidavit of our maintenance supervisor, Shay Nolan, which wasn't even mentioned by the district court in its memorandum and order, clearly establishes as a matter of record, as a matter of fact, for purposes of this summary judgment, that a warranty was made. And there's two sentences I'd like to read. It's a three or four page affidavit, but there's two sentences that are important. This is Shay Nolan. We indicated to Mr. Holder the circumstances under which we were planning to apply the product, including the fact that we would apply the product in the open air at the stern of the vessel during casino business hours. Then later on down the page, Triangle and Mr. Holder told me that the Anchicel product would meet our needs under the circumstances. We indicated the particular use that the particular need that we had, and they recommended the product to meet that particular use. That warranty was breached because obviously, and under the allegations and on this summary judgment, people claimed injury as a result of the use of this product as we indicated we would and as Triangle warranted we could. So therefore, there's a warranty for fitness for a particular use and a breach of that that resulted in us having to close our operations, resulting in substantial damages to us. So that's the breach of warranty claim that is established in the record that the district court improperly found summary judgment. The second big fact issue is whether the additional terms proposed by Triangle were part of the contract. And that is the disclaimer of warranties and the purported disclaimer of warranties and the purported limitation of remedy. As to the disclaimer of warranties, there is substantial question of fact as to whether that disclaimer even applies in this situation. First of all, with the it's rendered at the very least ambiguous given the representations and warranties of Triangle's agent. So, and secondly, the disclaimer itself, the disclaimer does not, in conjunction with the representations and warranties, cannot be effective. Secondly, it was delivered with the product, and under Illinois law and under the UCC as adopted by Illinois, and the cases that we've cited in the brief, particularly the album graphics case, that is not an effective disclaimer of warranties. That is an additional term that was proposed after the contract had been formed and was not agreed to by the parties.
And what disclaimer are you referring to specifically? Are you talking about the label?
Yes, sir.
I don't have a very good copy. There was one in the record. I guess it says Encanto V or 5.
Encasel 5.
Encasel 5. And then up at the right-hand corner in big print, it says, for industrial use only by trained craftspeople, refer to technical data and MSDS sheets for complete installation instructions and product information. Is that the, at least that's the label.
I'm
just reading the big print because that's what I can read here.
I don't have the actual label.
It's not in your brief, so it is in the record.
It is in the record, Your Honor.
Yeah, and but that's what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the where it says, you know,
Says what?
It says no disclaim or seller disclaims warranties express or implied or something to that effect.
Okay, I guess it says that somewhere. It's hard to read.
If the court would like, we can arrange to send a clearer copy.
I guess what's in the record is in the record. That's what the court had, right?
Yes. The district court had the label in front of it, and the actual language. And I can't quote it verbatim, but it basically says seller disclaims any warranties expressed or implied.
There's a disclaimer and then a remedy limitation.
Correct.
Is that what you're referring to?
Both, yes.
Okay.
So was proposed as an additional term. We called and placed an order before we went to Triangle to pick up, you know, to affect delivery of the product. We called and said, we want to buy 4 cans of product. They said, okay, we will sell you 4 cans of product. That is when the contract was formed. Then, when we take delivery of the product, they add these additional terms, which, under the Illinois case law, as we set forth in our brief, is not an effective disclaimer or limitation of remedy.
Well, is that something they slapped on there, or was that just on the... What is it, a gallon bottle or something?
It was on a 5-gallon
container. Was that something that was on there when you picked it up, when your people picked it up, or was that something that...
Yes, it was on the package.
On each package.
On delivery, yes.
What is it that you think that this I don't know what Mr. Holder said in total, but that overrides whatever anything that's said here? You don't have to look at this, you don't have to read it or look at it or pay any attention to it?
Well, if it was proposed after the fact, then there's no indication that we ever agreed to that.
So you buy this thing, and it's got these warnings. I read one of them. It's in big print here. Which would, at least if I were doing this, I sure wouldn't put this stuff on and have somebody do it. But maybe, who installed it? Did you have experts?
It was our maintenance personnel that applied the product with some limited instruction from Triangle on how to do it.
What kind of limited instruction?
Well, basically, you know, you put down a layer of the product, then you put down a layer of mesh, and then you put down...
Where were these instructions given?
They were faxed to us, and they are also part of the record.
I have those, yeah.
Attached to, I believe, the affidavit of Betty Lamond, which was filed by Triangle.
Was that the material safety data sheet?
They sent us...
Back to that, I think.
Correct. And in conjunction with that, sent us, limited handwritten instructions on what I just described with regard to...
A piece of paper? Those are the instructions?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. Or at least that's the cover sheet for those instructions. At the very least, Your Honors, a jury could find that with this transaction, they indicated to us that we could use this product in a certain way, and we gave them all the indications of how we would like to use it. They then made a specific recommendation as to the product that was appropriate and that it was okay to use it as we had described we intended to do so.
What about the issue of causation, though? Is that really covered here?
I'm not sure I understand the quote.
To whether or not this product caused a problem.
Well, it's certainly, that's a matter of proof, I guess, Your Honor, for trial, that a jury could decide if this was the product that caused us to have to shut down our operations and cause people to get sick. But certainly that, I don't think that was the basis for the court's summary judgment, but certainly
you consider that still an open question?
I believe it is, Your Honor.
Your folks may have caused the problem by over-application, or that diesel engine off the stern of the ship could have caused it.
I guess that's a matter of proof, Your Honor, but I don't think, that's not been addressed in this summary judgment.
Okay.
And
that's what I need to know.
Okay. Good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Mr. Broom.
May it please the court, Gordon Broom, I represent the defendant Triangle. This is a very simple case, and unfortunately it has morphed into a battle of the forms argument, but this case is not a battle of the forms case. This is a UCC case, but it's a very simple case. And it started out that way, but it has ended up, I think, on this in our briefs. When you read them, you'll get off track onto this battle of the forms issue. We have a stipulated set of facts in this case. You need to read those, as you will or have, and you will see that what this involves is this. First off, this is a product that's placed over the top of insulation on an air conditioner duct. The insulation is already installed, and it turns out this air conditioner duct is outside. It's not an inside duct. They wanted to protect it from the weather. They called Triangle, which is a contractor and supplier of material, and said, would you come look at the boat and tell us what we should put on to protect our insulation? Our man went out, he came back, he looked at it, measured it, and he went back to his office and sent them a catalog which listed about 10 different products. The only thing peculiar about this particular insulation is that it was on a floating platform or vessel as opposed to on a building. And the only thing peculiar about that was it had to be Coast Guard approved before you could put it on the boat, since this particular vessel had a Coast Guard approval aspect to it.
And why does it have to be approved by the Coast Guard?
Well, it's a vessel on the river. It's a casino.
So that given, those are the only two products that could be used.
Well, there's no. There, if you look at this,
you said that there were only two approved by Coast Guard, right?
No.
I'm sorry.
Your Honor, you'll see there's about 10 items listed here, and about 7 of those are approved by the Coast Guard. We sent them a catalog and said, here are the Coast Guard approved items that will protect your insulation from weatherproofing. We have two of these in stock. That was the end of our involvement until a few days later they called us up and said, we'll take this one of which they selected. You'll read the complaint, you'll read the stipulation of fact, you'll read their own affidavit. They selected from the list which of the 7 they wanted. They wanted one that we had in stock. When was the contract made? Judge Murphy found that the contract that was for sale here is no different than when you call the hardware store. Do you have a ladder there that will reach 20 feet? Yes, I do. I'll be down to pick it up. That's exactly what happened. They said, I'm going to come down and pick up 4 cans. You'll read the stipulation of fact. There's nothing that even said we would sell them 4 cans at that point.
What does the stipulation of fact say about Mr. Holder's going out to the vessel pre-order?
This is very interesting in the way when you read it, you'll see they are not claiming we've made any promise or any express warranty or statement about any hazards associated with this. They say it's a negative. We didn't tell them about the hazards. That's what they're saying. We didn't tell them. They didn't say we made any express warranties or representations. We simply didn't tell them. When you call the Sears company and say, I want to buy a ladder. Does the Sears company say, by the way, here are the hazards associated with it? Or when you ask, do you have paint in stock?
But they don't come out to the house and examine the job either and say, this is the kind of ladder you ought to have.
In this case, what they asked us to do, and the facts that will bear this out is, what product can be used on this boat for outside protection of a cold air conditioning duct? The only people who, the problem we have here is that the fumes, the allegation is, the fumes got inside the boat. We have no special knowledge about the ventilation system of this boat.
Although your man, when he helped take the insulation off, indicated that he noticed that the way this vent was created or constructed, that this stuff could in fact have seeped in.
Well, of course it was. He said that the seams weren't sealed. Now they claim in their statement of facts that the air that was going through this duct was not circulating inside the building.
Isn't it kind of strange that hardware stores people would come out and help take this stuff off the
Well, they called us and said, we got a problem, come out here. We went out, and when we got there, this is not in any of the, when they got there, they found out that the stuff was being applied at the time. They took off the insulation, happened to be a garbage barge right behind the boat, and they threw it into the, took off all the insulation which had this stuff on it, in a garbage barge behind it, and they tested the air, and everything was fine. 2 hours later, they had the problem again. Now, there was a diesel engine out there spewing out fumes, but the issue that, on the issue of particular purpose, the comments to the code say it has to be a peculiar use of this product. The purpose of this product is to weatherproof insulation on outside ducts. There's no claim that it violated that. The claim here is that the fumes got inside the boat. Who has the particular, peculiar knowledge, specialized knowledge of whether or not the fumes would get in the boat? It didn't go through the duct system according to their stipulation of fact. And therefore, that particular purpose doesn't apply. They never told us that these fumes were going to be inside the boat. But Judge Murphy ruled that the contract was made at the time of delivery, in essence, of the can. And the can, it's no different than when you pick up a paint can at the Sears store. Is the labeling on the can a part of your purchase contract? We had no contract to sale was made until the product was delivered. You'll see nothing in these facts that when they called and said we wanted 4 cans that we agreed to sell them or said anything. There are no forms going back and forth here.
If I may interrupt you for a moment, I just want to make sure I understood you correctly. It was your employees who removed the insulation, am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
When we were called out there and asked to do it, in essence, they asked us to do it. We didn't. We were a volunteer at that point. But the Judge Murphy ruled that the disclaimers and the limitation language, which I had to have blown up as well to read it, but it's found in the corner of the label. There was no question about it being obvious, no question about it being read.
Is that label in the record?
Yes, sir.
Just like that?
Just like that. Okay. And the reason that he can't read is because it's colored when we try to copy it. But there's no claim that it wasn't red. In fact, what happened here was they picked up the can, 4 cans, and they took it home. We contend that's when the contract was made, and this language on this label was part of that contract. They took it home, and they read on the label that it was only supposed to be applied by professional people and that there was a MSDS sheet, which was a warning about all the hazardous products and so on. They called up and said, we want the MSDS sheet. The contract is still being made. They get more written documents to the contract. There's no sales invoices here. There's no disclaimers on the back of invoices, as Judge Murphy said. There's no sneaky stuff going on here. This is all part of the instructions on the can. They got They got the MSDS warning and then picked up two more cans. So they knew exactly what they were doing. They're reading the labels. They saw on the label, they said, you had to use a mesh to apply it. So they asked us about the mesh. We said, yeah, you have to put a mesh, and that's what that memo is about. So this limitation agreement, which Judge Murphy latched onto, and the disclaimer warranties is all part of the original contract. We don't get into a battle of forms issue here at all. But even if you did, if for somehow you found on your own that there was a contract made in this, telling us they're coming to pick it up, the Judge Murphy found there's no breach of the warranties because you can't breach a warranty when there's a warning on the very issue. I mean, you can't go there. He also found that the limitation clause you could find under the interstate case we've cited here, that's not a surprising or additional term that materially alters the contract and under 207. And the intrastate case is instructive on that point as opposed to the Albin case. But you don't have to go there. There's no reason to go there. Judge Murphy didn't go there. He said the contract was made when he picked it up, and these clauses apply. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Groom. There is no time left. Well, in the case will be taken under advisement. And a lot of thanks to both Mr. McNamara and to